Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a Market Scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I'm excited to dive into electric vehicles and what the future of charging stations should be. And I'm going to provoke it with a report that actually was recently put out by my firm and our group, MG2 Advisory. And that is, what if EV charging stations met unreasonable hospitality? And to join me into the conversation is an expert in the automotive space. I have Charles Forrester here, who is the founder and lead designer at Automo Speed Crew, which is a media and e-commerce brand built for true automotive enthusiasts. As a company, they deliver high energy car culture to millions on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok with in-depth reviews, industry news, and hands-on DIY content. So if you haven't checked it out, I know you're going to want to after this episode. Beyond media, Automotive Speed Crew's apparel and accessory line lets fans wear their passion literally on them, offering premium gear inspired by sports cars and the motorsport. So who else better to tap as we talk through EV, and also was somebody who was part of our investigative process. So I gave a really high level introduction to you, Charles, and I want you to give a little bit of a deeper one to the audience, talking about, you know, your expertise in this industry.
Sure. Well, I think you covered all of the main points. We're a media company. We post on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. And I've been a gearhead for as long as I can remember. I mean, I sort of grew up with my dad taking me to car shows, talking to me about sports cars. He's the reason I'm a Porsche fanatic. And given time, I will own multiple of them. And so I've always had this interest in the automotive space. And of course, sports cars, motorsports, that's where a lot of the technology sort of trickles down into our cars that we drive today. As far as the EV world, I remember first hearing about them when the electric RAV4 mm-hmm. came out. And the EV1, I don't know if you remember that, there was a whole documentary about that. And ever since then, I've kept tabs on the industry, reading, you know, about plug-in charger tech and the new powertrains and hybrids and all of that stuff. So I keep a finger on the industry and really kind of try to keep a pulse on the industry as a whole. And for a long time, I had plans to actually build an electric car of my own. So I was inspired by the white zombie.
Ooh, love it.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he built a drag car out of an old Datsun, and it just destroyed all of the other gas guzzling cars on the drag strip. And so I was inspired by that. I had plans drawn up. All I had to do was pull the trigger to do a VW Squareback as a EV drag car. Never did it, but I might still.
Well, it's never too late. But anybody that follows you on socials will know that you are creative as much as you are a gearhead. So I look forward to seeing that come to fruition. Well, we're looking forward for you to bring that mindset into today's conversation, as you did as a collaborator in a recent report. So let's start with some of the themes that we talked about, and let's break down, I think, in the conversation, right, from your purview and from mine for the audience, of some of the things that we saw in the study. You know, so if I point out four of the key areas, it was one, amenities beyond the basics, and we'll dig into that. And I think that also leans into the title of the report, which is EV charging environments, what if they met unreasonable hospitality? So that's really going beyond the basics. The opportunity of local design in mind, purposeful service solutions. So, you know, there's the charging as the basic level, but what else around that? And then all-in-one technology, where I feel you'll lean in a lot on that as well, because you're very technologically savvy. But what are the most important things to kind of get out of that all-inclusive technology experience? So I'll start, I want to dig into those. And then just to back it up a little bit, we also have the three personas. So I want to get your take on those. And maybe that's where we'll start. But in the report, we also define these personas, the speed seeker, the comfort cruiser, and the destination dweller. So one, which one are you? And then two, just having collaborated, just like, you know, your thoughts on those three personas in terms of your purview too, and understanding the industry and the consumer.
Yeah. So I'd have to say, with as busy as I am and how much I have to get done in a general day, I'd have to say I'm a speed seeker. I mean, it's in the brand's name, so I'd have to go with that one. You know, for me, you know, it's when I approach technology, when I approach anything that has something that I'm sort of doing myself, right? I need that process to be smooth. And so for me, I've got to be able to get in, get to a pump, or in this case, a charger, be able to use it and get out quickly. And so for me, that convenience is key. And so as far as I think the really interesting thing about the personality profiles is seeing kind of how each of those changes sort of their approach and what they're looking for. And there's obviously a Venn diagram, a lot of overlapping things in there. But it's sort of, you have to kind of build an experience that can cater to mm-hmm. all of them, right? So I think the speed seeker, they require sort of like the base stakes, right? Your experience has to be great, but it also has to be convenient. Mm-hmm. And I come from the software world, and we have a concept there called friction. Basically, anytime you're using an application, if there's something that annoys you, or you can't get done quickly, or something stands in your way of accomplishing the task that you are wanting to accomplish, that's a source mm-hmm. of friction. In the software world, we do everything we can to remove that friction, because that just makes the process easier, that makes using the application easier, that makes your users happier. And so in the EV world, you know, waiting for a charging station, showing up to the charging station and, you know, having to wait in line, or just not even being able to use the tech, right? Having it be complicated. Those are sources mm-hmm. of friction. And so I think for the speed seeker, right, the more you remove friction, the more you're catering to that speed seeker, and that speed seeker is sort of the base table stakes that you have to meet. Everything above that is gravy and really caters to the other
yeah.
two.
And I think the way you describe it, right, is pretty spot on. You want the focus on the fast, the accessible, the reliable, prioritize real-time charging. But what I get excited about when we're ideating on spaces is don't take that for granted. Like, there's still opportunities to add layers of hospitality and complete consideration 100%. Around the experience. If the North Star is that efficiency, how do we have something that considers mm-hmm. all the things around it that elevates what that feels like? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. And look, here's the thing, right? You've got to hit that sort of base level, but that base level is going to be what everybody else does. That's sort of the commodity thing.
Yeah. So
creating an experience that people want to return to, that's what's going to get your users coming back and get that sort of loyalty.
Exactly. And I feel like when you're talking about something like that's based on efficiency, like a speed seeker, it's then how are you have an even more interesting opportunity to add those layers of surprise and delight. Cause it's like, they don't even know they need something else. You don't even know you need something else. You want to get in and out, but if I can surprise and delight you along the way to make everything convenient, through that hospitality mindset.
Absolutely.
So some of the things that we talk about in the report, and I want to see if this aligns with your thinking or anything you want to add to it. So we kind of broke down, what are table stakes? What's game changer? What's that cherry on top? So there's the three personas and the affinities around it. So if we said the affinities across those personas, table stakes, charging ports, and outlets for USB mm-hmm. seems basic, but again, that's like thinking about all the mm-hmm. things that add to efficiency. And then elevated restrooms and showers. And I always have a thought around that. So do you think people will shower at EV charging stations?
It depends. So interestingly, we did work for a truck stop a long time ago. We were building some tech for them. And yes, if you're doing a long haul, you might actually shower. And these truckers definitely will shower. Now, how does that apply to EVs? Well, in the future, there will be electric semis. And we've seen a few on the road, and they're not doing, you know, as long haul. They're sort of doing sort of that last mile delivery. But as the EV technology grows, they will be doing more EV semi sort of long haul trucking. And so that's going to become important in sort of the road tripper kind mm-hmm. of world.
Yeah, it's good to make sure we're like thinking holistically about that purview as we think of a wider potential addressable market. So the second pillar of that is the game-changing stuff. So not required, but it would significantly improve the experience. So for that, we got quality food. There's a lot of questions if EV charging stations should coexist with F&B, but sit-down dining or high-quality grab-and-go, and then the premium seating. So comfortable, resting, and relaxing. So what are your thoughts on those?
My thoughts on those are they're incredibly important. And you know, you're going to have cases where EV chargers are put in places where that's kind of built in, right? So the fronts of malls, airports, where you're literally showing up, plugging in your car and hopping on a plane, retail spaces, libraries, things like that. That's all kind of where that stuff is built in. But when you are not utilizing those spaces and you still need to charge up, but you've got to wait, 15, 20 minutes, or, even as short as 10 minutes, you just need to top up so you can make it home. What are you going to do for that time? And I think, if you're able to give them, things that they can do, right. A nice comfortable lounge where they can go, hang out in there. There's a charging station in the UK that has a really high end, food store, the convenience store in it, right? And so being able to go grab a snack, being able to go grab a sandwich, some good healthy options for food and beverage, I think that's key. And that's really taking that sort of convenience store 7-Eleven kind of experience and elevating it, right? And that's sort of taking that same paradigm of what do we do in the gas fill-up world and making it better for the EV world. And I think, yeah, you've got some great opportunities there to pull people out of their car and get them to use those experiences. And you've highlighted in the report some great options.
Well, that's what I want to dig into a little bit more. So, we have the table stakes of make it efficient. And even if they're not just a speed seeker, you're not going to disappoint the comfort cruiser or the destination dweller by making things frictionless and making things accessible,
correct,
but adding it and making things hassle-free. But we add in some of the other elements of it and we think about programming, and we're talking about the F&B, but some of the other things to explore, which, not even just the cherry on top, because we can go to that too, the cherry on top being like pet-friendly spaces and dedicated meeting rooms and things like that. And I think in certain locales that could make sense. And those also become brand extensions, right, of the experience, but things that could coexist, on-site services outside of just charging. Some of the things that people gravitated to as the top choices were tire inflation and diagnostics, mechanic services. So talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think those are huge opportunities. When you make a stop, typically most people want to do more than just one thing when they stop, right? Especially if they have to wait 10, 15, 20 minutes. So doing things like tire fill-ups, diagnostics, and sort of that sort of thing where you can talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm experiencing this. What can you, oh yeah, let me just fix that for you. And tire fill-ups where you're not only stopping to charge up your car, you're filling up your tires and that kind of thing. And even detail services, right? So if your car is sitting there, you've got an opportunity to get your car detailed. That's just an add-on that they can do very quickly. And it stops them from having to make another stop in the future. And I think those are things that really could bring in somebody, right? So if somebody is saying, I need to get my car detailed or I need to fill up my tires anyway, this spot has it, this spot doesn't, I'm going to go to the one that has it every single time. And so that's that kind of additional thing that can really pull people in and do that brand, build that brand loyalty.
Yeah, absolutely. And it adds again to the convenience and the frictionless and, being additive to the experience. And I think it creates a more holistic brand experience. I feel like there's a lot of parallels in this and the work we've done in the past with like a Nordstrom Local, where that's about flexible fulfillment, which is transactional in isolation. But then we added in, Nordstrom, you can meet with the tailor, right? As you open your package, you can get the hemming done. You can gift wrap on the spot. After you open your package, you can return on the spot. And so it's taking something that could be transactional and really elevating it to be a brand experience. And I think this is what the opportunity is as we explore some of the formats for EV charging. Another element of that is the tech savviness of those who tend to gravitate to wanting to own an electric vehicle or aspiring to. And so what technology features could simplify and enhance the experience in charging environments? And, people lean in the direction too of that all-in-one, How am I getting that all-in-one experience through my app as an additive layer to my visit? So talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on that and breaking that down for the audience. The all-in-one had things like locating stations, reserving chargers ahead of time, paying all in one place. What are you seeing in your conversations in the automotive industry from the consumer's perspective and their tech savviness?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. One of the big words that or phrases that's been tossed around since, you know, the first EVs really came on the market was range anxiety. And a lot of that range anxiety is just not knowing how long I have till I can fill up again, right? And so being able to find a station, look at the station and say, okay, cool, that's only 10 miles away. I've got 30 miles left. I can make it there, right? Like that kind of thing eases that anxiety. And those options are more and more available. But if you go to that station and then you have to wait in line, you know, let's say it's six cars deep and you're waiting, you know, who knows how long the cars that are sitting there have been charging and you know you've got a long wait there, that's going to be, again, a point of friction. So being able to see sort of the wait time, whether there's a line ahead of time, can maybe make you say, okay, I'm going to go a mile and a half down the road to this other one, right? And it can help you decide based on how busy it is, right? So if you see a free charger or you see that there's four free chargers, okay, cool. That's not too busy. I can go there, get in, get out. I think that's kind of really, really key. Once you get there, being able to pay on your phone, being able to do everything on an app on your phone really makes a big difference. If you go on YouTube and look up worst EV charging experiences, you'll see experiences where people have a really hard time getting the machine to do what they want, set the settings, pay, and all of that. Again, that's a huge source of friction. But if I can do it on my phone, if I can just scan a QR code, say, okay, I'm at this station here, I can pay, I can set my settings, I can do whatever I need to here, and then I walk away, I know what level my car is at, and I know how much longer I have to get to however much I need in order to move on. There's sort of an unspoken rule in the EV charging space that you're only really supposed to stay there until you're 80% charged if there's, you know, waiting, right? If you're the only one there, fine, charge to 100%, but it's sort of a common courtesy, right? But if you walk away and you have no idea where your car is at, you could be breaking sort of that common courtesy, unspoken rule thing. But also it eases that anxiety. If you're sitting there eating a meal and you're thinking, well, I don't know, am I done? Right. You know, it's that, again, it's that friction, that comfort, that convenience. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes a huge difference in how people experience the experience and what they walk away with.
Yeah.
And then again, with an app, with a dedicated app, you've got other opportunities to communicate directly to your customer. From a marketing standpoint, it creates an opportunity to build that brand loyalty. If there's a brand that's communicating with me in ways that feel authentic, feel important and timely to me, I'm more likely to go there because I have more of a conversation and affinity for them than I am likely to go somewhere else. So There's some points that I think of and I've seen in the industry.
Yeah, and all the things that you talk to is kind of what we're creating a through line for in the report, and that's why we say what if it meets unreasonable hospitality, because everything you're talking about is a brand's opportunity to make the customer feel as considerate as possible, all elements around their point of discovery, around arrival, around, you know, what they're doing while the service is happening. How, you know, and that's that specialness that adds to that surprise and delight, which then drives loyalty. Another aspect of EV is, yeah.
Yeah, and think about it. Sorry, not to interrupt, but think about this too. If you were to say, I'm going to go to the station and I know they have a smoothie bar, I'm going to go ahead and pre-order my smoothie. So I can go in, take care of that, go pick up my smoothie, and it's not a separate experience. So it's little things like that that really make it.
Yeah, they could. It's interesting because you could always learn so much from other industries. You know, it's like that's been more widely adopted now in cinema, right? Is you book your movie ticket and, okay, my popcorn's going to be ready. You know, my beverages are going to be ready. I don't have to wait on that line. It's going to be as seamless as possible. And it's additive to the experience that way too. And probably this, you know, that theater is making more money on average because it's like, okay, I don't have to wait online. I know I can get the things. And it allows people to plan their time differently and feel like they have more control over that. When we think of Automoto, you're all about car culture. And even within car culture, EV is kind of that subculture. And so as a brand, there's things that you can do to be the nucleus of culture. and community. So one of the things we talked about in our report is, you know, which partnerships would you like to see when it comes to EV charging environments? What does that right alignment look like? Some of the things that people gravitated to as the majority, more than every one in two responses, was local brands and businesses and wanting to have that local aspect tied into it. But what are the kinds of things you're seeing, and, you know, what we could think about from a brand perspective is, what are the best practices of being the nucleus of culture when we think of automotive and then specifically electric vehicle?
Sure. Yeah. That's a really interesting thing, because specifically in the automotive world, people are very loyal to their brands. Typically, there's obviously exceptions to this, but people are very, very typically loyal. So if you are an Audi family, you drive almost all Audis, right? If you have Chevys, right, you're driving all Chevys. So an opportunity to put a car in front of a person is really an interesting opportunity, right? So here, our local mall here, there's often a car that is just sitting in the middle of this one space. And right now they have the INEOS Grenadier, which is a rebuilt Land Rover Defender. Really cool car. Not something you get to see very often, but having it there builds that affinity. And so taking that same exact opportunity and saying, cool, we're going to have a rotating sort of showroom of these different vehicles that are coming up, right? That's an opportunity in the automotive space. You know, how often do you get a chance to see the new Rivian that's coming up, right? So when we were at South by Southwest just recently, Rivian, who for anybody in your audience who's not aware, they are a sort of the newest EV company, and they're doing some really cool stuff. They have a new car coming out called the R3. I've been very excited about this car since I've seen it, since I saw the first pictures of it. I got to see it there. Seeing it there in person reinforced for me that I want to buy that car. And so, you know, that's an opportunity in the automotive space specifically to sort of pop up at these or have a rotating selection of cars at these spaces. But as far as local brands, you know, I mean, what are people passionate about? What do people do every day, right? What do people really care about as far as local? And, you know, the obvious choice is cafes, right? So if there's a local brand that now is all of a sudden at this charging station, that might pull me to that charging station more often. Or even as a non-EV owner, if it's sort of built so that it's accessible and doesn't seem like it's, you know, you have to go through the charging station area in order to get to this, I'm going to go there. And again, you know, the more you can pull non-EV folks to an EV experience, the more you expose them to this technology and it feels less scary and more familiar. And so, you know, as far as those sort of local things, right, cafes, sort of local produce pop-ups, sort of artist pop-ups, that kind of thing, the stuff that brings the local community in. I think those are huge opportunities to really have a conversation with those local areas.
Yeah, I agree. And it doesn't just end at EV. I think if we look at retail as a whole, you're seeing a lot more of this interest of localization within the environment, whether that's through the design and materiality or what the things that it gives nods to or through the programming. Not necessarily new, but I think you're seeing it more and more. And I do think that's an opportunity for these brands as they go into different locales, and it makes the experience unique. I think it also adds to the adventure, you know, as you're traveling and you're visiting these different charging stations, you're going to get a little bit of a unique experience out of each if there's a touch of local associated with them. One other aspect in this portion of the conversation as we talk about building community and culture, and it's EV charging memberships. And we did inquire about that a little bit in the report. Mostly we got a maybe. You know, over 50% said maybe. Not just if the cost is reasonable, but if the benefits fit my needs. So I want to dig into that a little bit more, right? Because from your purview, what do you think are those benefits that would make it enticing for somebody to have to invest in an EV charging membership?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we sort of the word membership entails kind of an idea of paying something monthly, and I think we all have that fatigue about paying for something that we don't use, whether there's a gym membership or a streaming service. You know, how often do you go to Paramount Plus, for example, right? And so you know, I think the membership has to provide value, but if it gives you a discount, right? If it's something that you're using frequently, and you get a discount and you have the opportunity to get access to things that other people don't, then that's a huge benefit for them. You know, it's one of those things where it's got to be done right. I mean, sort of just like we were talking about with the table stakes, it's got to be done right. But I think you build the affinity with your customer if you can give them value. And when you're paying a membership, you're more likely to go to where you're paying the membership than where you're not, because you want to make the most of that, get the most of that value. And I think it's an interesting opportunity. I do think it's sort of inevitable. Somebody's going to figure out what these companies are going to figure out how to do it. It's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out, what it looks like. I think a lot of these companies are starting to build their own apps for communicating with the chargers, and that's a huge opportunity to just add that membership in. I think there's a huge opportunity there, especially with brand loyalty.
Yeah, and when I think about that, I provoke the question, like, what can EV learn from Nike? Can it learn from Allo? It can learn from all of these brands who have created and embedded this deep, you know, app culture, and some of it's through the programming because it's fitness and stuff. So what is that programming that EV brands could bring in? But that does add to the stickiness, you know, and there's a lot more that you're able to unlock in the physical locations when you have this really active digital enabled audience that then can be integrated into the in-store experience. So TBD, but I always like to look across sectors within retail to say, okay, what could we be learning from something like a Nordstrom Local or from a Nike, you know, or from an Alo Yoga? One of the things to that note is extending the brand beyond the charging station, but still having it be a brand experience, right? And so we provoke that question as well as we do talk about the opportunities of brands being the nucleus of culture and community. And, you know, you see studies of like Red Bull, you know, or Vans with the skate culture and concerts that they get involved in and stuff. And, you know, so those aren't 100% parallels, but we did ask, you know, what kind of branded spaces from EV charging companies would be of interest outside of the station itself, but as an extension of the brand's experience. And it was pretty large, 74% of respondents. So that's, you know, every 3 out of 4 almost said that they would be interested in seeing cafes or lounges brought to you by, you know, Rivian, Lucid, Mercedes-Benz, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a huge opportunity. You've got, it's funny because when you guys were interviewing me, I brought up the idea of the ING lounge. So back in the early 2000s, this company ING had coffee shops, and you didn't have to be an ING customer to go to the coffee shop. The coffee was actually pretty good. But when you went there, you were in an ING experience, and they had a really fun brand. And so you got to learn about ING as a company. And actually, I ended up signing up as an ING customer because of that experience. Capital One bought them, now they're Capital One Cafes. But I think coffee shops are kind of the perfect vehicle for getting people in, because no matter what time of day, before evening, typically, people are buying coffee, right? It's sort of the first thing. It's a habit forming thing that they do. And if you've got a cafe that looks really cool and serves interesting things, but also happens to be connected to and not directly related or not solely focused on EVs, that's an opportunity, again, for exposure. The more we're exposed to these things, the less scary and the more interesting they become. And for these charging companies to be able to pull in non-EV owners and potentially grab them as customers as those people, you know, slowly switch over to EVs. Because look, EVs are inevitable. Mm-hmm. Right, they are coming whether we want them to or not, and you know, you want to build that affinity before they buy EVs, right? So we've got more and more options for EVs to purchase, and as more of these cars end up switching to electric or plug-in hybrid, and this technology becomes more familiar, you've got an opportunity to have a conversation and have that mind share with those customers, so that when they do buy that EV, oh, I'm going to go to that cafe, and actually, you know what? I'm just going to charge up longer. You know, so it's a huge opportunity to have that conversation and build that mind share. But yeah, cafes are perfect. If there were sort of, you know, in certain cities, local music events, right? Think about South by Southwest, think about Nashville. Mm-hmm. There are huge opportunities there. With music, you know, that's sort of a built-in kind of bring people in type of thing, presented by, and then you've got sort of a Rivian kind of nearby or whatever, right? So I think those are interesting ways to have conversations with people who are both EV and non-EV drivers.
I agree. And you bring up South by Southwest, so I have to think of Yeti. And I think they do a great job of that, right, in Austin. And they have the they have a stage. And it's like curated. And, you know, they are, again, they are the brand bringing that to you. That level of culture, and you're seeing it across sectors. Like Diptyque just did a pop-up jazz lounge in New York City, right? And it was the right music, right, to bring in from that brand, and immersing you in scent and all these different elements. So again, I just think there's so much that EV vehicle car companies can learn from other aspects of retail. And the more you can be that nucleus of community and culture, the more you're grabbing that mind share, like you speak about, and you create more of that customer loyalty and evangelists too, brand evangelists as well.
Yeah. And I think Yeti's a really interesting example because, and we've talked about, I've talked about Rivian at South by a couple times. Literally Rivian was directly within the Yeti building. So they have kind of a space sort of right behind it. And Yeti has a bar on the corner, and it's a retail space, it's a headquarters, but they have a bar right there. And so you as a consumer can go have a drink at the Yeti headquarters. And obviously they have Yeti coolers out front with water and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So it's again, those touch points and becoming familiar and building that brand affinity through something that is tangential, but, you know, sort of an add-on. And I love that concept.
Well, before you go, I have to ask for the audience too, because you're a guru in the automotive space. So who besides Rivian is doing it really well, you think? Who, and it, they don't even have to be EV, but like who's doing it well within the auto space? And what do you think listeners can learn from that?
Do you mean from an experiential standpoint or the cars?
The experience standpoint, like a charging station, or, you know, just a brand experience.
Yeah. So I think, so Mercedes has a really interesting experience, and I believe it's only in the UK or in Europe. But they've got a very, very interesting experience. I will say actually one of the most interesting that I've personally seen was Porsche. So Porsche has what's called a driving experience. And so they pop up in several places around the country, and they bring just a fleet of their cars, and you can get to experience them and drive them. And they started bringing their EV options there as well. So you've got the Macan, you've got the Taycan, and at South by Southwest, not this last year, but the year before, they had a pop up there, and they had obviously their EVs there. You couldn't charge there, but it was an opportunity to see the car. And so if they had done that at a charging station, that would have been a really great experience. But as far as the car companies who are doing EV charging sort of stations and pop-ups really well, I have to say, I have to give it to Mercedes. They are really doing a great job.
And what about it do you think stands out? Like one or two things that you think separates them from the rest?
One, it's an opportunity to see Mercedes, you know, up close. And two, it's just the way they build them, the way they style them. It just feels very high end. It feels luxury. It feels Mercedes brand. It feels on brand for them. But it's also exciting. It's interesting. You don't have to be an EV driver to go there and check it out. Obviously, it helps if you're, you know, going there to plug in a car. But it's an opportunity to go check out an experience that you wouldn't otherwise have access to. And it's, I think the way they create the environment and make you feel enveloped in sort of this brand story, I think that's what makes it just stand apart.
Yeah. I think luxury brands tend to do that really well, and we're always studying them, and it's something to learn from because it is that it's an enveloping people in the brand story and also kind of that lifestyle promise, you know? And so it becomes this aspirational experience, whether you're in the market for it or eventually. It starts to kind of, I think, position your brand in a consumer's mind of, you know, I want a bit of that lifestyle. And if I own that car, own that vehicle, right, I could be a little bit closer to that.
Yeah.
Well, we can go through this forever and ever, but I'm going to leave it as a little bit of a teaser. So those who actually want to see the full report will download it and read it. But I think there's a great just teaser into what's in the report. At the end of the report, we kind of go into 5 go forward brand strategies. But again, provoking the question, regardless of the persona, and I think it is important to understand there are different personas. And so you have different opportunities to gain mind share and loyalty that way, whether you're a speed seeker or a comfort cruiser or a destination dweller. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, how do we lean into unreasonable hospitality in an otherwise somewhat transactional experience and making it an elevated brand experience? So before we go, if there's one thing you want to leave with the audience, Charles, on your end, what would that be?
So I put together a video talking about the report. Go check out that video. Follow me on YouTube and watch more of the videos that I put out. Follow the MG2 advisory crew. They put out some really interesting reports. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Again, some things to think about until you read the report. Amenities that go beyond the basics, local design in mind, purposeful service solutions, and what is all-in-one technology look like. So Charles Forster, thank you so much again for being with us. Really appreciate your time. And for all of you, until next time at the next episode of Retail Refine, I'll see you later. Thanks.
Thanks so much.